This is March 30th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome back to the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. I hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. I cannot believe it is April. It is ridiculous how it is already April. Usually would be getting ready for the playoffs right now. I'd be doing a playoff preview episode, seeing how the Bruins stack up against a potential first round matchup. And instead, we haven't even hit the trade deadline yet. And that is what we are going to be discussing a lot on in this episode, where the Bruins are at. We also, Connor and I, talk about some important stuff with Don Sweeney and whether or not the hot seat is getting, or his seat is getting hot, so to speak. So we get into all that in today's episode. Before we do get into the episode, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. You guys know the NHL is in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use that mobile device of yours to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, CLNS50 to get that 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. You can't beat them. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. It's a nice day out. It's the nice time of year, as we like to say, but times for the Bruins, not so much, unfortunately. Times are just not as good as people might want them to. And I think this past weekend might have been the most low they've been, because even the 3-2 win over the Sabres was not one that caused many people to be happy. It was like, oh my God, you almost lost to the Sabres, who have now lost 17 in a row. And then you get shut out by the Devils again the next day. So to me, I look at this, and we'll jump right in. We'll dive right into things. You never want to overreact, right? And we have both heard all year a lot of people saying, this is on Sweeney, he's on the hot seat, all that fun stuff. And I've held off deep discussion on that until this weekend, until I saw this weekend, because I said this weekend looks to me like maybe it's time we start asking the question. So I'll first let you offer your opinion. Do you think that Don Sweeney is on the hot seat, or he should be on the hot seat?
I don't think this year. I think right now I agree that it's kind of the lowest of the low right now in terms of where the team is at, but also, you know, I don't want to make excuses, because let's cut down to the fact, you know, regardless of what the team's dealing with, you shouldn't have to have a third period rally to beat the Sabres. And as much as people want to complain about those two goals getting called off in the last minute of the game against the Devils, let's face it, like, you shouldn't be in that spot anyway against a team like the Devils. Like, be it the fact that Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, has like an 8.62 or 8.92 save percentage, I think, against every other team except the Bruins, where he has a 9.62 save percentage. The fact that your power play can't score against the Devils, who I think are 28th in the league in PK, that's an issue too. That's compounding their problems. And the fact that even the power play going from elite to still pretty good is not good enough, which just shows you the margin of error that this team has when they're five-on-five scoring isn't, producing at all, really. Still, it's tough to, like, get a full grasp on this team when, like, you're still missing so many bodies. I mean, you're still without Marchand, who's probably your best five-on-five player, guy who's still a key cog on the power play. You're still missing so many bodies. But, again, you're in that kind of spot where you can't really wait until the deadline, right, of waiting for these guys to get back healthy. Like, again, you probably thought that we were getting near the end of it in the last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden Rask has an injury now where he's out, and to me it's going to be a lingering problem. So the Bruins are in a tough spot in terms of getting a full grasp on where they are before they have to start making decisions on what they're doing for the rest of the year. And so for Sweeney, you know, I think we've talked at length about what their issues are, the fact that, you know, going into the year, even though there was maybe room for optimism that this scoring, this forward core is the deepest it's been in years, hasn't really been the case, right? And some of that has been injuries. Some of it has been guys having dreadful individual seasons. I mean, I don't think they expected Jake DeBrusk to struggle like this. They didn't expect Andre Kasha was going to play like 20 total minutes of ice time this year, and he may not come back. We don't really know. I think for the Bruins, in terms of, you know, whether you weigh someone's on the hot seat, I think the biggest determinant there is where this team goes from here next year and the coming years, right? Like if they're in a spot where whether they make moves and try to extend this current window they have and acquire guys that can help them in the coming years. Let's say they get a guy like Connor Garland and he ends up being what I think a lot of us expect he could be, where he could be a top six lock in the coming years. If they have a guy like that, they add him to the mix, and some of these younger players continue to develop, then you at least set yourself up for a window where this team can kind of retool rather than outright rebuild. So I think this year obviously has not gone according to plan, but I don't think if the Bruins, you know, get bounced in the second round or the first round again this year, like Sweeney's out, I think they have to see what the next steps are for this team. Because if, again, if you hit a spot like where, you know, you only have a year or two of kind of retooling, because you've got pieces in place, right? You've got Pastrnak, you've got McAvoy, you've got young players. But if all goes awry, if DeBrusk never hits the level he hit back in 2018, if some of these younger players don't pan out, if you can't retain assets, then you're in a spot where I think you have to really reassess where the organization's going. Because I think ideally they want to look at it as, you know, contend with this Bergeron core for another year or two, and then hopefully retool on the fly with the next crop of established players. It just, you have to wait to see kind of what that next wave is, right? Because it can't just be Pastrnak and McAvoy. You need to have other guys kind of building up that foundation. So I don't think Sweeney's on the hot seat this year yet, even though it's been a disappointing year in terms of kind of building this roster out for maybe that one final cup run. But I think the biggest indicator is going to be where this team looks a year from now, 2 years from now, before we can really kind of assess whether or not they need to switch things up.
I think that's sort of the thing, is that obviously these times suck and they're not fun for fans. And I think it's easy to overreact and say, well, you know, they need to clean house. They need to completely clean ship. But I think you're right. Like ultimately, I do think you have to look, and you have to look at also Sweeney's track record. I mean, he got here, he was, you know, became GM before the 15-16 season, because what, yeah, 15-16 was his first season, and that season wasn't that great. But you know, they found a way to get to the playoffs in 16-17 after he made the coaching switch. 17-18, they were really good in the regular season, fell in the second round. 18-19, they get to the cup final, game seven. And then last year, you know, President's Trophy, season gets cut short. They end up losing to Tampa in the second round, but you do wonder how they would have done in a regular season. And then this year. And so I don't think, like, I think it is tough with that kind of success. And I know people say, well, that's not a cup. That's like, no, but that's close. And that's not something you just like take the, you know, you rip the GM off for. Now you can make the argument that the drafting has been not so great. His first draft was, you know, again, not amazing, even though they all played together in that one game.
It was very memorable.
Such a memorable game. But I do think that you do have to give him a little more time, because again, there's been success. There's been some success. And as you said, like, and this also might piss off some people. They have done stuff. Like they have. And every deadline he's been here when they were, you know, in the playoff hunt, you know, you look at 17, 18, they go out and get Rick Nash. That falls apart. But
Who they acquired with the expectation that he was going to be here for a couple of years too.
That's the thing. And that's so,
exactly. Cedric Paquette ruined that plan for them.
Yes. So you have that. The next year, 18-19, you have Coyle and Johansson. That was enough. That was almost, I mean, that was
that great. Should have been.
If your top line just decides to score a few more times in that series, it's a whole different like Bruins world. Right. And then last year, getting Kasha and Richie, didn't expect Kasha to have the injury issues. And Richie was borderline. That was one that was a little bit iffy. We all kind of had our hesitations with that at the time. It's worked out in part, but not really. Because he hasn't also done anything since like the first month of the season. So there's that. So I don't think now is the time. I don't think the end of this season is even. I think you got to give him a little bit of leeway, you know, have another draft or two, before you really see like, okay, this guy's got to go. Cause I don't think it's time. I don't. And I get people's anger. I understand it, but now is not the time.
And I mean, I also think like, you know, this isn't absolving the shortcomings they've had this off season where you could have signed a guy like Toffoli or, you know, Bruins could have made lives a lot easier for themselves instead of having to like acquire. At this point, they have like multiple spots they have to kind of shore up now. Like you have to look at a winger, you have to look at a defenseman. You know, there's multiple holes that they could have plugged if they even signed guys who are on the bargain bin, right? Like if you sign like, I don't know, Ben Hutton, if you signed like Toffoli, who is not going to break the bank, like if you re-signed Chara, if you just gave him $2 million, you know, because the Bruins
Hoffman was another one.
Yeah, Hoffman, who now is also healthy scratched by St. Louis, which is funny. Hoffman's still Mike Hoffman at the end of the day. But, but you know, there's many situations where they have to fix problems that they easily could have remedied during the offseason based off just spending money and not a lot on top of that. But I still also think you just have to be pragmatic and not quick to, you know, blow. You go on like some boards and people are quick to like fire the coaching staff, start all anew. It's like one, also, again, get a reality check. You've got McAvoy and Pasternak. You're not rebuilding. And if you do enjoy being the Senators and the Red Wings, who are going to suck the next 10 years, the Red Wings.
No, so. Well, considering the fact that the number one critique of this team is drafting right now.
Yeah.
And you're then going to trust them to draft a whole new team in like 5 years.
So again, it's tough because you don't want to say, and people who are pissed aren't going to feel any better when you have to be like, wait to see what they do at the deadline and wait for these guys to get healthy. But also don't forget that they're missing multiple pieces of a team that opened the year with the best record in the NHL. Like, and again, you could probably say a lot of those were kind of iffy third period comebacks or what have you, but this team is 16-3-3, I think, against teams that aren't the Islanders. We're good. Let's give credit. The Islanders are good. And also the friggin' Devils. But other than that, they're 16-3-3, including Pittsburgh, including Washington, who they're 2-0-2 against, have not lost regulation to Washington. Philly, who, I mean, thank God that they're terrible because the Bruins are still sitting pretty good at that fourth, you know, in that fourth seed or third seed right now. So, yeah, I think you have to sit back and kind of assess where you're at. You have to make moves. I don't think they can sit pat, you know, stand pat and hope these guys get healthy and expect you're going to be the same team that you open the year as because you still need to add pieces. But, you know, they're still as flawed as this team is, and they're flawed. I don't admit that. You still have to look at see that there's still a productive core, you know, a productive core there, a group that you can build off of, especially for this year if you want to add a few pieces. So, I don't think now is the time to hit the alarm and blow everything up, to say the least. But you do have to, I think, maybe acquire some guys at the deadline.
And by the way, for people like we get that this Bruins team is not fun and it's boring. Like
they are not fun to watch.
No, like and for people who are fan, like for people who watch the games, think of how we feel who have to create content about this stuff. It's the same shit every week. And so I think that, you know, we understand. And I know people are going to say, well, you guys are being soft. You got to redo the whole thing. And it's like, no, you don't. You really got to, like in these situations, when you do these emotional moves, they don't usually work out. It doesn't usually work out when you're just like, okay, time to restart. Like you need to kind of think critically in these situations. And the truth, the God's honest truth, as bad as the 5-on-5 scoring has been, and you mentioned this yesterday in a tweet, you were like, look, you know, the power play, the 5-on-5 scoring has been, the problems have been there forever. It's been there for as long as Cassidy's been coached. They've had 5-on-5 issues. But the power play always made up for it. You know, the power play always bailed them out. And, you know, as much as that's been the case, as I said, Sweeney's tried to fix that. He has. Now, has the moves worked out? No. Not nowhere near as what they'd like, but as you said, Nash was not supposed to do that. Kasha was supposed to be able to play. Richie, Coyle and Johansson helped. That was a big, that worked. So again, like there are things they could have done to Foley, you know, maybe Taylor Hall in free agency. Now you got, was it Sportsnet who put out the thing that said, it was Sportsnet? I think it was Sportsnet.
Sportsnet, yeah. Sportsnet who, yeah. who said DeBrusk did Nika in a first for Taylor Hall, UFA, two goals on the season, which is just like, that's a deal you get to get like Philip Forsberg, right? And of course, they also have the Maple Leafs getting Connor Garland, who's arguably the better player, who's younger, who's a RFA, for a second round pick and two prospects who I've never heard of, which I'm sure Toronto media thinks they're the next, the next up and coming stars, as it always is. Nick Robertson.
Well, they are.
Yeah, he's going to win the hot in a couple of years. But yeah, it's funny how that's that trade. But then the Bruins to get Hall is giving up a guy. Yeah, it'd be like a Forsberg package if he was even going to be dealt, which he won't be. So
that would be that'd be a reason to fire Sweeney.
Yes, exactly. If that trade happened, then we can scrub the tape from this podcast. But holy hell! But again, yeah, if you make brash emotional decisions, you know what you get? You get Buffalo trading Ryan O'Reilly for pennies on the dollar and plunging your team into a shitstorm for 15 years, which is what they've done. So that's why you don't make these hasty decisions, because usually they end up coming back to get you.
And that's also why, like, again, these people who want to rebuild, these people who want to redo the whole thing. If you think this is boring, if you think this sucks, which it does, have fun watching a team that's the Anaheim Ducks for a bunch of years. Like, you know, the Sabres, the Senators, the Red Wings. Like, and the Senators seem to be on the other half of like all that horrendousness. But still, there's no fun in it. It's not fun to watch. And again, you have Pastrnak, you have McAvoy. Vladar looks pretty good. Swayman looks pretty good. You know, you might have something. It seems like you might have something there. Down the middle, you know, Stadnik has been a guy who has not impressed as much as people, I think, hoped this year. It's something Cassidy was saying Monday morning, that, you know, a guy like him has been moved around a lot. You know, so it hasn't really had a chance to kind of settle in. And as we know, Cassidy's very trigger happy with kind of his moves. We have Frederick, you Beecher in the pipeline. Poor Michigan, by the way. I was so excited to watch. I'm covering the Frozen Four for NCAA.com, and I was so pumped. I was like, I get to watch Beecher. I don't get to watch a lot of Michigan games.
Owen Power, Kent Johnson, Ben Yates from Hingham. Hingham, I think, right? Matthew Ben Yates.
Maybe.
I think so.
All He's these very nice good. Guys.
They've got a lot of good game players.
But I was so excited to watch Beecher. Obviously, Michigan was taken out of the tournament because of COVID. Like literally, I think like 10 minutes before the first game kicked off on Friday.
The Wisconsin game.
The Wisconsin Bemidji State game. Bemidji State sent Wisconsin home. But Cole Caulfield now is in Montreal. So, anyways. To me, I don't think now is the right time to fire Sweeney or stays on the hot seat. I think you give me a year or two and see what kind of happens from there. Cause I think that, bringing anybody else in right now probably doesn't do the trick. I don't know what you want to have happen. You have what you have. So, at any rate, speaking of the deadline, and you mentioned this before we came on the air, the Coyotes and the Predators. The two teams that the Bruins were supposed to pick apart and pick up people who were going to lead them to a Stanley Cup are doing well. The Predators are in a playoff spot and the Coyotes are very close to a playoff spot. So, Connor Ryan, what do the Bruins do? Who is there to pick from now?
I mean, I think also a lot of that kind of lies on where exactly the GMs and the ownership of both the Coyotes and Nashville have to assess this team. Cause even if the Coyotes make a playoff spot, I think you have to look at that team, right? And be like, all right, we have a lot of money tied up and a lot of extended long contracts and probably overpaying quite a few guys. We've got a barren farm system. We have no first round pick this year. We wasted our second round pick last year by drafting that kid. That awful kid from North Dakota.
That's right. I forget his name.
So they're waiting. So yeah, we don't have
someone is slamming their steering wheel saying his name. Like, how do you not remember his name?
Or it's better off maybe just not mentioning that jabroni.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they also lost, I think, a third round pick as well from that. So even if they make the playoffs, right, you have to imagine that Armstrong, the GM's looking at it like, all right, cool, we'll sell some more tickets, I guess, which we should probably use,
I don't know about the ticket prices.
But you look at the fact that I don't know where that organization's heading. You can also look at Nashville. Like, are they just delaying the inevitable when they look at making the playoffs this year? Like,
well, Arizona has cool reverse retros, though. So, I mean, come on.
Those are cool, yeah. I mean, that's one thing they got going for them. Not a lot else. But so it'll be a case of seeing where those teams assess where their organization's going. And then from the Bruins, it's kind of the same old guys that we mentioned before, right? I mean, Palmieri's a guy who also seems to only score against the Bruins, which maybe is not a good thing if you're trying to acquire him. But he's a UFA. Taylor Hall, who I think a lot of people are not fans of, but I also think you have to be pragmatic of the fact that the value for him right now is as low as it's maybe ever going to be. So if you can get him for a second round pick.
This is why when we mentioned who we would want the Bruins to get at the deadline, I mentioned Taylor Hall. Because again, the value is low. You put him with good players in a good system with a good franchise, that's still Taylor Hall. Like, again, he doesn't have Jack Eichel right now, and he hasn't had him for most of the season. Yes, he's sucked, but so have the Sabres. So that franchise is horrendous. Again, if you can get him for a second round pick and a prospect, try it. Like
for a UFA.
Exactly. You
know, it's like a low risk. And if he sucks, then he sucks. If he's Taylor Hall, if he's not even, 2017 Taylor Hall, the Devils, if he's Taylor Hall that we've seen for most of his time in the NHL, then he's better than what you already have. And yes. Also, I think one thing you have to be cognizant of is, I think, as we said earlier, this Bruins team has to, if they want to go all in this year, have to probably make a couple of different moves to add guys to the mix. And if you can get Hall and add a guy who's a proven, like he hasn't been it this year, but a proven top six guy to the mix and still have assets left over, like a first round pick and other prospects and players to then use to get, Ekholm or any guy we've mentioned before, Garland as well. Like, they have other pieces they could use to acquire guys if need be. Like, you're not mortgaging the farm to get Taylor Hall. He wouldn't be, ideally, you'd hope he's not the only move you make, because there's a couple of different spots you have to shore up there. But in terms of giving up assets based on what the potential return could be, it's intriguing, because I don't think Taylor Hall is getting a first round pick. That's for sure.
No, I don't. No, I'm not. We don't think like Sportsnet. We think a little bit more logically. But Fluto mentioned this in his piece after Sunday's game against the Devils, in how, and I thought this was interesting, he pinpointed out there was a play at the end of the third where, Grizzlick had an issue with his helmet, and they were in the O-zone. You know, obviously you want Grizzlick and McAvoy out there in the O-zone draw late in the game, down 1-0 to the freaking Devils. But you want Grizzlick out there. He can't get his helmet done. The refs let him go to the bench once.
Good to see the refs caught that and not like
the other stuff, 50 things the tripping missed, penalties yeah, but, and all that. But yeah. So he had another issue. They were like, you just got to get off the ice. And Cassidy sends out Krejci to play with McAvoy, which again, four forwards, like, cool. But ideally, you should have another defenseman who would be able to slot in that situation in a 1-0 game, 3 minutes left, O-zone draw, 5-on-5. But they don't. They don't have one, because Zboril has been terrible of late. You know, you're not sending out Steven Kampfer. You're not sending out Lozon. You don't. The drop-off right now, at least, after Grizzlick and McAvoy is so substantial that, again, you'd rather have a forward out there in that situation, which then just highlights, and this is why teams are giving the Bruins the point. This is why that, you can bring the puck up high so often and you have no issue, or, you can get the puck up to the D as much, because the teams aren't really worried about them. They just pack it in. They stand in front of the net. They don't let you go to the middle. You can't get to the high danger areas. And these guys can't get shots through. Clifton, Zboril, like, shots aren't going through. And again, and I'm not blaming this on the D, like, again, Krejci had that heinous power play play yesterday where he didn't shoot it. You have so many guys passing up shots, which, by the way, has been going on for years now. Yes. 5-on-5. You're just starting to see it now because, as we said, the power play sucks. But that highlights another issue you need. You need a defenseman or two.
That's why the Ekholm thing, people are like, you can balk at the price, which the price is still apparently a first round pick, an elite prospect, which, again, who knows what natural views is elite, considering how valuable first rounder is now in a flat cap era. But
speaking of that, not to cut you off, but wasn't there a thing a few weeks ago on Twitter? I swore I saw this. It was like, what would it take to get Eichel? And they said like 3 first round picks or something. And people were like, oh, you can take DeBrusk, Senishin, and Zboril. There are 3 first round picks.
That was pretty good. But you know, people are saying, you know, they're balking at the price for Ekholm, which you can have that discussion, I guess. But in terms of just the overall need, where it's like, we just need wingers. It's like, no, like, I don't think people are valuing what a guy like Ekholm, who's a proven playmaker, play driver from the blue line, can bring to this team. I mean, as you said, and so what Bruce Cassidy mentioned, like, when you don't have proven play drivers or guys who can have a heavy shot that can get to the net out there, then defenses can just pack it in, right? That's how, I mean, you look at the one goal New Jersey score, right? I think it was, I want to say it was Ty Smith, the defenseman who got the shot.
Ty Smith shot it. Called
it. And it deflected off. Yeah. And he deflects off Palmieri, and it was a lucky bounce. I'm not saying that all of Ekholm's goals are going to be just creating lucky bounces, but it's all about spreading out the defense. It's about, you know, getting them not packed in. That's why when the Bruins power play was going so well for years, it was the fact that even when the power play was so unpredictable, right? Where you've got Pasternak in the left circle, but you also had Krugu go to the half wall, drawing guys out, you know, getting guys up high. It's all about just like, you know, breaking up that structure of that defense and finding those soft areas of the ice. And you're not getting that at all right now. No, nothing's getting through. So that's why, even if it's a high cost, why the Bruins are probably going to be in on Ekholm, is because I think even if it's a minimal upgrade, like let's say they get like Granlund and Ekholm, and Granlund's your answer for the wing, it's not a headline grabber, right? He's not a guy who's going to be a proven, you know, solve a situation, which is a discussion for another day. But Ekholm himself is enough that should really give this team a major shot in the arm, especially just in terms of not just his importance to a defense, right? He's still a great defenseman. He's not like Dennis Weidman out there, but he's, you know, he's still a guy who can also drive play really well, especially even strength.
The Bruins need to reacquire Dennis Weidman. That needs to happen. Exactly. You go out there and knock some refs around and enforce the refs. Yeah. I mean, you can't hate that. You can't help but respect that. But, in 30 minutes or less, that is pretty much what's going on with the Bruins right now. That is everything. And now they're playing until May 11th. So get ready for just a ton of regular season hockey over this next month plus. I mean, like we always say, a ton of games. This is crazy, the amount of games that they're about to undergo. And this does not even account for any more games that might get canceled because of COVID. Like, this is just going to keep going. And it cuts into potential rest. It cuts into, how guys are, how fresh they are going into the postseason. I'm very interested with this Bruins team. I'm very interested in what they will be come the playoffs. And that's, as most fans would say, if they make the playoffs. But also Philly sucks. Like, I will say this, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins like miss the playoffs, but I also kind of would be, because the Flyers stink. Like, Carter Hart has had a really tough year. The defense in front of him is garbage. Like Gostisbehere said the other day, I mean, they leave Carter Hart and Brian Elliott just out to dry. Remember when we said and most people said this, by the way, one of our preseason predictions, the Flyers would be number one in this division. And by the way, I think we had good reason to say that. A lot of people said that.
They've pretty much admitted that they did not think that Matt Niskanen just retiring was going to impact him as much as it did, but clearly has. Matt Niskanen maybe should like win like a Norris in retrospect. Apparently, when he leaves, the whole defense implodes on itself. But also, I think Kyle Hart's not playing for a week, or he's being scratched for a couple of games, because I think they just need to get him in the right mindset. Because I mean, he's just been dreadful this year. So yeah, the Bruins have been bailed out quite a bit from them.
And as bad as they've been, they're only 3 points behind the Bruins. So. Yeah, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Capitals 50 points, Islanders 48, Pittsburgh 46. Those top three seem pretty solid. It's a battle for the fourth spot. So do you believe in the moves? Do you like them? Do they get them in the playoffs? Those are all questions we will ask as the season rolls along. Connor, before I let you go, is there anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, we're going to be breaking down a couple of different trade scenarios this week. We're going to have something that's going to be running up probably today when this podcast drops, but assessing the pros and cons of a Taylor Hall trade, which we've already kind of hit on, which I think at this point you factor in the return and what the potential reward could be. Seems like it's a pretty harmless move for a guy that you can just jettison if it doesn't work out. So We'll be looking at that and a couple other things over at BSJ. So you can subscribe over at bostonsportsjournal.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at ConorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And for CLNS Media, I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruinsby listeners, have a great rest of your week.